That's a great question. What is it about the blood of Christ that it can cleanse us? Our old sin nature is in the DNA. It is not in the blood. What is it about the blood of Christ that can cleanse us? Why are we cleansed by the blood, essentially? Now, the DNA does contain the old sin nature, necessarily because we have Adam's DNA. Sin came by one man. The only thing we have in common with that one man is DNA. And so, we know that we have Adam's sin nature, because we have Adam's DNA. He was the first one who had it. Your DNA comes, of course, from your parents. In the blood, there is no sin. Anybody's blood. It's in the DNA. We did mention in that message that you referred to that there's a school of thought that says that the blood contains the sin nature. The blood does not contain the sin nature. If the blood contained the sin nature, then Jesus would have a sin nature. But yet we know that Jesus was without sin, singular. That means sin nature. The developing child develops their own blood. It's a type of connective tissue. They develop their own blood according to their DNA. If it came from the mother, the blood, it would have to be present in the egg. All of the machinery for a developing child is in the egg. In other words, you have the sperm, you have the egg. The sperm contains DNA and a few enzymes that allow it to penetrate into the egg. It does not contain anything else. At least nothing of consequence as far as contribution to the offspring. It really is all about delivering the father's DNA. Now the egg, that has half the DNA for the child, the sperm has the other half. But all the cellular machinery along with it. Now, by cellular machinery, I mean those components of the cell which will allow a cell to function. Every human cell has a ton of machinery. Things like mitochondria, one of the most obvious ones. Peroxisomes, lysosomes. I mean, I'm not going to get into what all these things are. Endoplasmic reticulum, both rough and smooth. One of them makes proteins, one of them makes fats, lipids, oils. All the things you need. It's got ribosomes. Everything you need. That cell is a self-contained little factory for another cell. It's unbelievably complex, mind-bogglingly complex. The genetics give such thorough information that you have tremendous complexity in every human cell. It's astonishing how complex those things are. You have the ability to manufacture molecules that allow your cells to have energy. That's within the cell. They're all self-sustaining. That's inside of the egg. Not only is that inside the egg, you also have all kinds of nutrients. Because that fertilized egg, the zygote, a fertilized egg, has to be sustained for a good week before it implants into the uterine wall. And so, until that time, the only thing that is sustaining that developing child, albeit very small child, still a child, is what's present in the egg, is the nutrients in the egg. If the blood came from the mother, then it would have to be in the egg. But we know there's no blood in the egg. The egg is yolk, and it's called yolk in humans also. The egg is yolk and a ton of machinery. The yolk is the nutrient. And then, once the fertilization process takes place, the piercing of the egg membrane triggers a cascade of events that lead to cellular reproduction. In other words, the moment that the egg membrane is pierced by the sperm, the first thing it'll do is create a hard coat around itself so other sperm cannot penetrate. And then it'll start reproducing extremely fast. And all the machinery for that, and it's a high energy, high investment of resources process. It'll start reproducing at extreme rates. Everything that's necessary is in the egg. So if the blood was going to come from the mother, the blood would be in the egg. Eggs do not contain blood. Why is it that the blood can cleanse us from all sin? The reason why we are cleansed by the blood, first of all, is because in Ephesians 2:15 and 16, when Jesus was on the cross, at that point, we became one individual with Him. That's a little bit difficult for people to get their mind around. They tend to spiritualize that when they shouldn't. And the reason why they tend to spiritualize it is because they don't understand the nature of time. Because time is not, as we tend to think of it as, a universal, linear, intangible constant. But rather, it's a universal, non-linear, tangible variable. And if you're wondering what I mean, go to Amazon and look up the book Creation Relativity and download it for 99 cents. And you will find out what it means, because I'm not going to get into creation relativity right now. But because of the variableness of time, and because there is really no distinction, as Einstein pointed out, between the past, present, and future, they are all present at this moment, immediately, right now, they all exist. Then even if I get saved today, I become one person with Jesus at the cross, because that event is still taking place, albeit in our frame of reference here on earth, we would say it lasted only a few hours. However, in eternity, it's still taking place. So everyone who's ever gotten saved went to the cross with Christ. And when they got saved is not relevant, because the cross is an eternal reality. Not theologically, practically. Theology really is there just to show us what's happening in reality. But if we think that theology is a philosophy of God, we don't actually understand theology at all. Because the cross is still taking place, because the cross is taking place and took place, and upon that, the world was established in Revelation 13:8, then it doesn't really matter when you got saved, you became one person with Christ at the cross. Equally true today, as it was 2,000 years ago, as it was 6,000 years ago, as it's going to be 1,000 years from now. We were one person with Christ at the cross. That means we were His body. That means in Galatians 2:20, we were crucified as one person with Christ. His blood ran over His body. That's not hard to figure out. The blood of Christ, as He was bleeding, covered His body. We were that body. Because we were on the cross with Christ our head, we His body, were covered by the blood of Christ. Please understand something. The blood does not cover your sins. A lot of people think the blood covers my sins. Where are your sins? They're under the blood. No, they're not. It's much more absolute than that. If my sins are under the blood, then my sins still exist. The fact of the matter is that because the blood is a part of the finished work, and the lamb was slain, in other words, the finished work was established, the lamb was slain from the foundation of the world, foundation being the word katabolis, which is the foundation of a physical structure, the world being the word cosmos, which can be the world system, but it can also mean the universe, and in this case, that's what it means. The entire universe was built on the physical foundation of the finished work, and the essential component of the finished work is the cross and the blood. So the blood is an integral, vital component of the physical foundation for the universe, and that's reflected in Genesis 2:7, where in the original language, the Word of God says that out of the dust of Teshuvah blood, God created Teshuvah blood. If you don't grasp what the finished work implication is for the creation of the universe, that verse is going to make no sense to you. But if you understand that the blood is the actual structural foundation along with the cross for the establishment, for the structure and the building of that structure that makes up the universe, then you will have no problem understanding that out of the dust of Teshuvah blood, God created Teshuvah blood. In other words, out of the dust of the ground, God created Adam. Ground and Adam come from the same root word meaning to show blood. It's like that strong acid we've described here a number of times. If you cover a table with strong acid and nothing touches the table, you wouldn't know it. Assuming that the table is impervious to the acid. But the moment that something touches the acid, the activity of the acid takes place automatically by the nature of the acid. You have an exchange between that which touches the acid and the acid itself, and the result is the eradication of the thing that's touching it. It's destroyed. It's consumed. Sin, in like manner, initiates the activity of the blood. Revelation 1:5 says that our sins, all of them, are cleansed, eliminated by the blood. Now, how many of you, after, let's say, you're working in the garden or maybe on the car or cleaning or what have you, whatever it is that you're doing, whereby you get your hands quite dirty, how many of you go to the soap dispenser in your house and you pour soap on your hands and just leave it there? That's the idea if you think that your sins are under the blood, that your sins are covered by the blood. It's like I'll be maybe changing the oil in my car at home and get my hands quite greasy, and I go to the soap dispenser and I pour soap on my hands, and that's the end of it. Now the grease is under the soap, but the grease is still there. That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says that the blood cleanses. In other words, it gets rid of the sin. The sin doesn't remain. It's not under the blood. The sin is cleansed. And the practicality of that cleansing process takes place when God cleanses the church, that is to say, every born-again believer in the world, by the washing of the Word. And there you have the practical manifestation whereby the activity of the blood becomes manifested in the practical details of my life. It's like running water over the soap, which is over the grease, and everything is removed. So we don't have any more sin. I didn't say we don't have a sin nature. I didn't say that we don't sin. I said we don't have any more sin. In other words, when I do sin, the instantaneous activity of the blood is to eradicate that sin. And it's the sin that initiates the activity. The blood is simply present all the time. The reason why it could be that the blood has the ability to cleanse is because the seed that was implanted into Mary came from the Holy Spirit. There is a thought, and this is an incorrect thought, but it's a common thought, that the Holy Spirit provided something of a divine sperm. And somehow he implanted that sperm, obviously not through the usual manner, but somehow he implanted that sperm into Mary's egg, and you have Jesus. And thereby you have the God-man. That is not correct. In fact, it's impossible for that to be correct. The reason is because if that were true, then half of Jesus' DNA would have come through Mary, and that's where people say, yes, he was the God-man. Half of Jesus' DNA would have come through Mary, and Jesus would have had the same old sin nature that Mary had, which was the same old sin nature that Adam had. But Jesus had no old sin nature. No, it's quite clear if you combine what the scriptures say with scientific understanding of the process, not elevating science above it, but utilizing science to illuminate it, that when the Holy Spirit implanted divine DNA into Jesus, and yes, he did have divine DNA, he had DNA just like every other human being, he was a man, fully man. So he had DNA, and it was provided by the Holy Spirit. It was not provided by Mary and Joseph. It was necessarily done by some manner of nuclear transfer. Nuclear transfer is something scientists do nowadays, where they take an egg. Now, it's illegal to do this in humans. Nobody's done it in humans, even though some people have claimed to, but they're lying. Whereby God took Mary's egg, removed her DNA, and nowadays in the laboratory, you can do that with a very thin glass pipette. You remove the DNA out of the egg, and then you replace it with a full, complete set of DNA. What happened with Jesus? God could not use Mary's DNA. Mary was a sinner. And we know she was a sinner because in the Magnificat, she called Jesus her Savior. If she was not a sinner, Jesus could not be her Savior. And so Mary had an old sin nature. It was located in her DNA. Her DNA was not useful for the process. So he had to get rid of her DNA. Well, that's not hard. Back then, it was unheard of. Nobody knew all of DNA, and it was a long time before anybody did. But God certainly did know of DNA. He knew exactly what he was doing. And the Bible does tell us that the seed for Jesus came from the Holy Spirit. Now, you have perfect DNA, divine DNA, utilizing human machinery. That's why he was the God-man. It's not that the DNA was human. The DNA had a divine source. Yes, it was completely human, but divinely provided. And you had human machinery, which was utilizing the information in that DNA to create a perfect man. And since he was a perfect man with DNA of a divine source, everything in his body had a divine source, including the blood that was manufactured utilizing the information in the DNA. And because the blood was divine blood, albeit human, it had cleansing power. And so it's not like you were cleansed by human blood, which is created through fallen, corrupt DNA, still effective for humans, but not effective for cleansing. But the divine DNA that God provided, which made Jesus, that blood, being divine, was effective for cleansing, as well, being blood, for all of Jesus' human sustenance. And now you had a situation where there was a man who was completely a man, yet he was God, but completely a man. And he was the perfect hybrid of God and man, utilizing human machinery to express divine DNA. Now that is not unusual. We think of that as highly bizarre, perhaps. It's not. It happens all the time. Viruses do this all the time. Viruses have no machinery. A virus is basically genetic information, usually RNA, which is like single-stranded DNA. Remember, DNA has two strands. So it's a very simple version of genetic information. And it's a protein coat. And that's about the extent of a virus. It doesn't have any reproductive machinery. It doesn't have any real machinery at all. Just very rudimentary machinery to allow it to survive. But even then, it can't survive outside of a host. The reason for that is because the virus needs the host's machinery. And also because the host provides sustenance for the virus. And so what a virus will do, once it infects the host, is it'll insert its genetic information into one of the host cells. And then it utilizes the host's machinery to make viruses based on viral genetics. And you produce a boatload of virus. Well, that's exactly the same principle. Jesus' DNA came from the Holy Spirit. It was divine. And then everything that was created within him, utilizing that divine DNA, had a divine origin, including divine blood. And that blood could cleanse. So he could still be completely a man. Absolutely. It was DNA to create a human. But it was DNA of a divine origin. Now, if that seems strange to you, keep something in mind. In Genesis chapter 1, we were created in the image of God. What is the image of God? You see, it's kind of a funny thing. The image of God is the image of a man. What does God look like? He looks like a man. So, we don't think of God being made in the image of man. No, he's not made in the image of man. Man is made in the image of God, but what does God look like? He looks like a man. And we know he looks like a man, because in Revelation chapter 1, it's a man walking among the candlesticks. He has a beard, he has hair, he has a robe, he has shoes, he has feet, he has hands, he's a man. He has eyes, he has a mouth, he breathes. It's a man. God came first, obviously. We were created in the image of God. That's why we look like men. When Stephen was stoned to death, he saw a man standing at the throne to welcome him home. He didn't see a ghost. He didn't see a spirit. He saw a man. And so the fact that we are created in God's image means that God has DNA. If God has a body, the body has a structure, and part of the structure of the body, because a body has necessarily processes that take place within it, and those processes are regulated by DNA. So absolutely God has DNA. Well, I'll tell you something. If you're going to do nuclear transfer, all you need is one cell. Nowadays, if they want to do a genetic test on people, maybe for paternity or for disease or what have you, they'll take it out of your cheek. Do you think it's remotely possible that God could have taken a cell out of his cheek, removed the DNA, and implanted it into Mary's egg, removing her DNA, and there was the divine seed? Absolutely, it's possible. That's how they do it today in the laboratory. Absolutely, it's possible. When they do that with sheep, they take the cell out of a breast. You see, there's nothing really strange about it anymore because we have the scientific understanding of how that process works. So you did have divine blood. You did have divine DNA. You did have human machinery. And you did have a man who was fully man and fully God at the same time. And because of that, the blood can cleanse. Apart from that, the blood couldn't cleanse. If half of Jesus' DNA came from Mary, the blood could not cleanse because the DNA would be corrupt. And Jesus' DNA corrupted, at least in half, would produce blood utilizing corrupt DNA. It wouldn't have cleansing power any more than Mary's blood had cleansing power. Remember, the clean does not purify the unclean. The unclean defiles the clean. So God could not combine his DNA with Mary's, because his DNA would have been defiled by hers. And so Jesus was the perfect. That seems almost funny to say that Jesus was the perfect. Of course he was perfect. But from a scientific standpoint, he was the perfect God-man. Now, he wasn't a clone. Nuclear transfer today is used for cloning. Jesus was not a clone. Why do I say that? Let's say you clone sheep. You use the DNA of the sheep you want to clone. You take a cell out. You extract the DNA. You take the egg of a host sheep, a female host. You extract the DNA out of the egg, you insert the target DNA into the egg, and you insert the egg back into the uterus of the host sheep. And then the host sheep is pregnant. And the offspring that results is a perfect genetic copy of the target sheep. The reason why Jesus was not a clone is because Mary was not divine. Mary was a human. Compatible, but not the same. This was absolutely necessary. And the reason why it was necessary is because in order for us to become the body of Christ, Christ needed to be able to sustain a human body. So he had to be the God-man if we were to be the new creation. Because our status as the new creation did not come merely by accepting Jesus, and then the new creation being a spiritual phenomenon, but not temporal. That's false. That's not what the Bible says. We are so new that we are even biologically new. If you understand how the finished work correlates with biology. Whereby, when in 2 Corinthians 5:17, the Word of God says that if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. That word new is kainos, means newly made, brand new. Many people think they're refurbished. Many people think I got saved, God cleaned me up, He cleaned up my life, got my act together with God, the Holy Spirit did it for me, praise God, now I'm a new creation. And that's not the meaning of new. If you do that with a computer, your computer has a problem, you take it back to the computer store, they send it back to the factory tests it, the factory replaces the broken parts, cleans it up, makes it like new, and they cannot call it new. If they sold it for new, they'd have a problem with the government. Why? Because it's been used. But part of the meaning of kainos is not used. It means literally new. Not refurbished. People think they're refurbished when the Word of God says they're new, and they try to say refurbished is new. If you did that in business, you'd be arrested. No, you're new. And then because of the mirror neurons, and if you want to know what mirror neurons are, I'm not really going to go into it, but look up our message online, the mirror images of the soul, and it'll explain to you mirror neurons. Then because of the mirror neurons, your experiences become God's experiences through the Word of God. As your experiences become God's experiences through the Word of God, your epigenome is altered. The epigenome is those structures which regulate the expression of DNA. And those structures are malleable and their function is malleable. It changes with experience. It changes with almost everything. As you get new perception through the Word of God, you get new experiences through that perception. The mirror neurons then start to alter the function of the epigenome, and now with an altered epigenome, with more than 1 billion cells being replaced in your body per hour, before long, you are even physically new. And hence, in Jeremiah 31:4, and then the rest of Jeremiah 31, a prostitute becomes a virgin. This is complete gospel. We can't sit around with an incomplete gospel. Why can we be cleansed by the blood? Because it's divine within the man, Jesus. And we become his body, but that's not just philosophical from a biblical standpoint. That's literal. And we become that body because we're renewed in the spirit of our mind. Since we are at the cross with Christ, and every sin is taken away. Does that answer your question? If you don't know that you're going to heaven when you die, if you would like to go to heaven when you die, and know without any question in your mind, based in the Word of God, He gave it to you as a gift. So simply thank Him for that gift. pray in your heart, Lord Jesus, thank you for your mercy. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. I accept your gift. I accept your mercy. Save my soul and take me to heaven when I die. Amen.